And let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 10. Tonight we continue Leviticus by looking at the end of this chapter, verses 12 through 20. I want to back up to verse 1 and begin the reading in verse 1. But in the sermon we'll focus on the last part of the chapter, verses 12 through 20. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, whom you have sent into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, giving us assurance that you are our Father, we are your children, for you have adopted us in Jesus Christ. You have made us sons of God, in the Son of God. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Scriptures, which are produced by the Holy Spirit, and through which you train us in righteousness and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Father, this evening, as we hear the Scriptures read and proclaimed, we ask that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive this word, and lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives to the praise of your glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus chapter 10 and beginning in verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses." Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his surviving sons, "Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due from the Lord's food offerings, for so I am commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are given as your due and your son's due from the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you as they do forever, as the Lord has commanded." Now Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up, and he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded." And Aaron said to Moses, "Behold, today they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and yet such things as these have happened to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved?" And when Moses heard that, he approved. This is the word of God. Now, the first part of this chapter is about the death of Aaron's two oldest sons, Nadab and Abihu. They died during the first worship service in the tabernacle. As we have noted previously, God judged them because they offered strange fire, unauthorized or unholy fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And they therefore profaned the worship of God. They transgressed his holiness by presenting him an unholy offering. And God immediately judged them. He consumed them with a supernatural fire, and they died before the Lord. Now, tonight I want to look at the conclusion of that narrative, which is recorded at the end of this chapter. The first tabernacle service was almost finished. The only thing left to do was this. Aaron and his sons had to eat what was left of the sacrifices. The grain offering had to be eaten by the priest before the sanctuary. The peace offerings were to be eaten by Aaron, his sons, and his daughters in a clean place outside of the tabernacle. The final act in most sacrifices was the consumption of certain parts of the offering by the priest. The sacrifices were incomplete until they were eaten. They were incomplete until consumed. The sacrifices in this inaugural tabernacle service had been offered in chapter 9, but had not yet been eaten by the priest. And so Moses told Aaron and his sons to finish the sacrificial rites by eating the grain offering and the peace offerings. Now that's what we see in verses 12 through 15. In verse 12, Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his surviving sons. Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place because it is your due and your son's due from the Lord's food offerings, for so I am commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are given as your due and your sons' due from the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that's contributed, the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as the Lord has commanded. Now, the point of those verses is quite simple, straightforward. Moses ordered Aaron and his sons to eat what was left of the grain offering and the peace offerings. And Aaron apparently had no objections to doing that. But there was another offering that had not yet been eaten, and Aaron chose not to eat it, which made Moses mad. It angered Moses. And that led to a debate between Moses and Aaron over who was right here. Was Moses right or Aaron right? And that's what we find beginning in verse 16. Verse 16, Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering. Now, that sin offering is the one that the priest offered on behalf of the people of Israel back in chapter 9. Moses inquired about it. That is, he checked to see if they had eaten it. And behold, verse 16, it was burned up. So Moses was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, and he said to them, he rebuked them in verse 17, why did you not eat the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord? In other words, God commanded the priest to eat the sin offering of the people because by ingesting their sin offering, the priest would bear their iniquity. The priest would bear their sins and thereby make atonement for them. Some of the sin offering that Aaron presented on behalf of the people had to be burned on the altar, but the rest of it had to be eaten by Aaron and his sons. And their consumption of the sin offering was an essential part of the sacrifice. It was a vital part of the sacrifice. By consuming the sin offering, Aaron and his sons would bear the sins of Israel to make an atonement for them. That is, to remove their sin and defilement from them. So that's why Moses is angry with them. He's angry. He's very angry with Aaron and his two surviving sons. They did not eat the sin offering. They burned up the whole thing on the altar, and since they did not eat it, they failed to make an atonement for the congregation of Israel. And so that's why Moses was angry and why he rebuked Aaron's remaining sons. Again, verse 17, Moses said, "Why did you not eat this sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord?" Notice the question here. They were to eat the sin offering not simply to satisfy their hunger. They were commanded by God to eat the sin offering because they were appointed by God to bear the iniquity of the congregation and thereby make an atonement for them. Now that verse 17, is quite remarkable. It tells us something very important about the role of the priest when he offered a sin offering on behalf of the people. The priest himself, and not just the sin offering that he presented for the people, but the priest himself would bear their sins to make an atonement for them. The sins of the Israelites were transferred to the sin offering. The sacrificed animal bore their sins, and therefore it died in their place for their sins. But when the priest ate that sin offering, the priest also bore the sins of Israel. And that was necessary. It was necessary for him to do that, to make an atonement for them. By ingesting their sin offering, the priest identified with it. He was identified with it, or maybe more accurately, he became one with it. And along with the sin offering, the priest, having ingested that sin offering and becoming one with it, the priest himself bore the sins of Israel. So the priest became their sin bearer. The priest ate the sin offering so that the priest might be their representative sin bearer. And he bore their sins with immunity, meaning he was not defiled by their sins when he bore their sins on their behalf. His sacred office, the holy status conferred on him in his consecration to the priesthood, made him impervious to the consequences of their sins when he bore them as their representative sin bearer. As long as the priest ingested the sin offering in a holy place, he was impervious to its defilement. He would carry the impurities of Israel without himself becoming impure as he bore their sins. And so the priest made atonement for the Israelites by bearing their sins. Now, of course, the priests in the Old Testament only did that symbolically, but what they did, which we've pointed out numerous times in this study of Leviticus, what they did symbolically, Christ did truly. What the priests in the Old Testament did symbolically, Christ did in reality, truly. Christ, our great high priest, is, in reality, in truth, our sin bearer. He truly bore our sins for us. And while he did so, he, of course, remained holy and undefiled by our sins, which he bore as our representative because of his sacred office. Because of his holiness, he remained holy and undefiled as he bore our sins. And Christ did not become our sin bearer by ingesting a sin offering, because he himself is our sin offering. Now, in the Old Testament, the high priest made an atonement for the sins of Israel by offering a sin offering on their behalf, but also by eating that sin offering to become one with it and therefore bear the sins himself. That's why he had to do it. He had to eat the sin offering. It was symbolic. The reason he had to do it is that it was symbolic of the fact that the true high priest who was to come in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, and the true sin offering that would be made at the appointed time whenever God sent his son, the true high priest and the true sin offering are actually one and the same. They are one and the same. Christ is the true high priest and Christ is the true sin offering. The priest and the offering are literally one and the same person in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, that, of course, was not the case. The priest was one thing, the offering was another. But when the priest ingested the offering, he became one with it. Symbolically speaking, he became one with it. And that was the whole purpose of it. That was its symbolism. It was symbolizing the fact that the true priest and the true sin offering would actually be one and the same person. And so Moses, whenever he checked on the sin offering to see if they had eaten it and found out it was all burned up on the altar, Moses became angry. He was angry with Aaron and his sons because they did not eat it, which they had offered, the sin offering which they had offered for the congregation. So verse 16, Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar, Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron. And he said to them, verse 17, why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, verse 18, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly ought, therefore, to have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded. Now, verse 18 needs a little further explanation because it is alluding to two different kinds of sin offerings. There were two different kinds of sin offerings. There was the eaten type of sin offering and the incinerated type of sin offering. The eaten type is the kind that the priests were supposed to eat after they burned the portions of it that belonged to God. The incinerated type of sin offering is the kind that the priest would offer on their own behalf and not on behalf of others. And if the priest was offering a sin offering for himself, he had to take the blood of the sin offering inside the sanctuary and apply it to the inner altar, the altar of incense, and sprinkle it before the curtain in the sanctuary. And he was not allowed to eat any part of a sin offering that was offered for himself or for the priest in general. So if it was a sin offering for someone else, he did not take the blood inside the sanctuary, but only applied it to the altar in the courtyard, the outer altar in the courtyard, and he had to eat it to bear the sins of those for whom it was offered. Now, that's why Moses says in verse 18, behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. It wasn't that kind of sin offering. You certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded. In other words, Moses was saying it was not a sin offering for your benefit, but for the benefit of others. And if it was for your benefit, its blood would have been brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. It wasn't because it was not a sin offering for you, but for the congregation. So you certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary, as I commanded, because it was that kind of sin offering, an eaten type, not an incinerated type. Now, how did Aaron respond to Moses' rebuke? Moses is angry. He rebukes them. Aaron responds in verse 19. And this little interchange here between Moses and Aaron is quite intriguing. Aaron said to Moses, verse 19, behold, today they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and yet such things as these happens to me. What's he talking about, such things as these? He's talking about the death of his two oldest sons, Nadab and Abihu. They died before the Lord in the very first service of worship in the tabernacle. And yet such things as these have happened to me. Now, here's Aaron's question. Aaron turns it back on Moses, and he puts Moses in his place. He says to Moses, if I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved? Would that have been acceptable to the Lord? Would the Lord have agreed with me doing that? And when Moses heard it, he agreed with Aaron. Moses approved. Verse 20, when Moses heard that, he approved. He agreed with Aaron. Now, there's some interesting points to make here about this little interchange. First of all, the fact that Aaron and his sons did not eat the sin offering, that was not a careless mistake. It wasn't an oversight. It wasn't like, oh, we were grieving because Nadab and Abihu died. We just forgot. We forgot, and it was burned up on the altar. We weren't paying attention. It was a careless oversight. That's not what happened. It was a deliberate choice. Aaron and his sons chose deliberately not to eat the sin offering, even though that's what they were originally supposed to do. Aaron doesn't apologize to Moses for doing anything wrong. In fact, he defends himself. He defends his actions and the actions of his two surviving sons. And when he defends their actions, Moses agrees with him. Moses approves, because Moses realized that Aaron is right here. Aaron was right in choosing not to eat the sin offering on this occasion. But why was Aaron right? Why was he right in making that choice? Well, Aaron's rationale for making that choice is not fully explained here in this chapter, but it appears that he was reasoning as follows. Nadab and Abihu, two priests, his two oldest sons, died. They died before the Lord in the tabernacle, in the service of worship, in the inaugural tabernacle service. And since they died because of their sin, before the sin offering, which was for the people, not the priest, but since they died before that sin offering had been eaten by the priest, Aaron reasoned that the priest in general needed to treat that sin offering as one for themselves, as one of their own. In other words, he reasoned that it needed to become an incinerated sin offering, not an eaten sin offering. It needed to become a different type of sin offering. Why? The priest had sinned. Which priest? Well, his two oldest sons had sinned. The priest in this very service itself had sinned, and so they needed an atonement made for them. They needed another sin offering made for them. And so Aaron treated it as a sin offering for his own benefit and for the benefit of the priest in general, which is the kind of sin offering that the priests were not allowed to eat. And he treated it that way rather than simply as a sin offering for the people, for the benefit of the people of Israel. So the sin offering, I can put it in other words, hopefully to make it a little clearer, the sin offering that they allowed to be burned up on the altar, that sin offering Aaron regarded as bearing the sins of Nadab and Abihu, and therefore the sins of the priest, and the impurities, the defilements, the defilement of the priest, and therefore making it subject to the law of the incinerated sin offering. It needed to be incinerated because it bore the sins of the priest. That was Aaron's reasoning. Now, that's why Moses was wrong on that occasion, and Aaron was right. Aaron was right that he should not, and his sons should not have eaten. Would the Lord have approved if I had eaten them? No, the Lord would not have approved, because now that sin offering bore the sins of the priest, and the priests were forbidden to eat such a sin offering. So he had one up on Moses, at least here. Moses had nothing to say, and it's really interesting. If you go back and read chapter 10, at the beginning of the chapter, Moses rebuked Aaron, and Aaron had nothing to say in response. Or he didn't rebuke Aaron, but he gave a word from the Lord to Aaron, and Aaron was silent. Aaron held his peace. Here the roles are reversed. Now Aaron is speaking the truth to Moses, and Moses has to hold his peace here. So the point is that Aaron was not offering the sin offering on behalf of the people only, but now he and his sons were offering the sin offering on their own behalf, on behalf of the priest. The priests as a class were guilty because of Nadab and Abihu's sin. They failed. The priest failed to guard the holiness of the sanctuary. They failed to guard the tabernacle in the way that they were supposed to. And they shared the guilt because of their corporate solidarity with Nadab and Abihu. They shared in the guilt, their guilt, when they sinned against God. So Moses agreed that Aaron and his sons had acted properly. Now, in thinking about how this chapter is played out in the New Testament, we've already pointed out that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true high priest. He is the true sin offering. Christ, both as the high priest and sin offering, is our sin bearer. He bears our sins, not symbolically, but truly, really. All of the sins of all of God's people have been placed on him as the consummate definitive sin offering and as the consummate definitive high priest. And he bears them in our place. As high priest, He bears them with immunity. He is impervious to sin's defilement. He is holy and undefiled as he bears them. But as sin offering, he takes the full consequences of our sins and suffers and dies in our place. So Christ fulfills both. He does both, and he does so on our behalf. Christ is our sin bearer. One other thing we're going to see as we get there, God helping us, in Leviticus chapter 16, which is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the one day out of the year when the high priest would enter into the most holy place, taking with him the blood of a sin offering and applying it and sprinkling it before the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant that stood in the most holy place. When the high priest came back out of the most holy place, the next act that he would perform when he exited the sanctuary is that he would lay both of his hands on the head of the scapegoat. Remember, there were two goats chosen that day. He would lay both of his hands on the head of that scapegoat, and he would transfer all of the sins of all God's people that he himself had borne for the whole year onto the head of that scapegoat and send it away into the wilderness. He would send it away to Azazel, as Leviticus chapter 16 will tell us, and I'll explain what that means when we get there. But that is the final outcome, and that's why the priest bears the sins. He carries the sins of God's people so that ultimately he can transfer them to the head of the scapegoat and send them off into the wilderness. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us.